Accession number 16801, Reel 5.
Mr. Proctor, Reel 5. Whilst you were a POW, did you ever come across German concentration camp victims?
Yes, I've seen many. Particularly in transit, i.e. passing through stations, being shanghaied into marshalling yards and left on many, many occasions. There's little we could do for them, because we didn't have a great deal ourselves. And then we was under armed guard, so one had to be careful. But I can remember one instance in the Chemnitz area where our train didn't arrive and we'd spent quite a lot of time in the marshalling yard area, only to hear voices of human beings calling for assistance and help from these wagons. In return, we couldn't give them a great deal of help, but in return, what we did, any scraps of food or cigarettes we had, along with handfuls of snow from the side of the track, we passed through little apertures in the side of the vehicles, side of the wagons, to give them a little substance or to quench the thirst. This happened on more than one occasion, and I've got to say here and now that the German guard, or guards, was conveniently missing when this was going on. By that I mean that they were happy to turn their backs and perhaps see a little humanity being carried out towards these people. Not all Germans were bad. 95% was.
I think you told me earlier off the record that some of these concentration camp victims attempted to pay you for what you were doing.
Yes, they did. As we passed the snow through, in return came bundles of notes. We didn't realise at the time that it was German money and other countries' money. It's wherever they'd come from. Some was large. And quite honestly, we used a great deal of this for toilet paper. It was worth nothing. To them, unfortunately, it was their life, and I'm sure they felt that it was worth something. But to us, as prisoners of war, it wasn't even good bomb paper.
Do you think the victims realised who you were, who was helping
them? Oh, yes. I mean, we spoke to them. Many could understand there was Inglese, and they knew from what one could see through the aperture. They could see the uniform, the battle dress. They knew we wasn't Germans. They knew we wasn't any of their erstwhile satellite countries. They knew we was British. Because many, as I say, could understand they called us generous. It, to me, it was pathetic. It wasn't generous. In so much as the snow was lying there. They needed water. Humanity decreed that you gave them it at whatever cost.
Could you get much snow through the aperture?
Oh, yes. Those apertures on these wagons would be about 9 inches by 4. But they had barbed wire across. Well, with a bit of ingenuity, you could remove the barbed wire. Push it. I mean, all you had to do was lift a man up there with his elbow, which was covered with his uniform and greatcoat, push it on that fashion. so they made a reasonable hole where one could shovel through snow. You must remember that we couldn't do it all onto all wagons. At the other end of the queue, I'm sure people were dying.
Were these men or women?
Mixed. This would give you some idea of the severity of the incident. This would be late 43. I would think at that time the Germans must have realised that they weren't going to win the war. And they were cramming back into Germany to feed the fires for the extraction of gold, silver, jewellery, money, whatever, off of these people, was the final fling. This is how I personally think about it. I've not, as I say, discussed this only with family at times. Because, quite frankly, people in this country didn't believe it. It's wasted time.
Any other contact with the concentration camp victims?
Only at a distance. The incident that I was going to referring back to now with Mr. Good is a conversation we had travelling down to my home regarding a death of a British soldier, prisoner of war. I know that he came from Devon and he was killed through panic. A group of us were working down on the railway line, and on the bank, stretching many feet into the air, was every nationality under the sun. There must have been Jews, the Balkan country people, even Germans, committed communists and dissenters of Germany was there in this drab grey arrowed and striped uniform. On another level there was French, but they seemed to have had a good time in Germany overall. I don't like the French all that much, but it would appear that they did very much what they liked. On this particular morning of the death of this soldier, the previous night the RAF had been over Berlin and dropped a few bombs. Give them a bloody pasting, actually. And because when we got there in the morning, it was still smouldering. Well, we was all gleefully happy about this. Let's not face it. In the road, there were people standing, looking at their property burning. I'm sure London people did the same. And privately, very happy people. We were. Now, the guard who sensed that we was laughing at the fact that the bombers had been over started to get agitated. And he wanted to break up the crowd. Arbeiten! Arbeiten! Los! 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 Get on with your work, agitator. Break it up. And he fired one shot. Unfortunately, it hit this soldier in the abdomen here. Now, when the shot was actually fired, I was several yards away. I came running back to find him lying on his back between the tracks. A colleague had opened his trousers and battle dress jacket, and his pipes of his lower part of his body was hanging out. He was in the death throes of life. I ran across to the guard and snatched the rifle from his hand and threw it. And I'm sure I said some words of profanity to him. And then immediately, everything went silent, and I looked up the hillside to find a couple of dozen guards with their rifles pointed down at us. I put up my hands as much as to say, it's over. I didn't hit the guard. And they returned to normal. shouting at the prisoners, kept working. It's possible that they were frightened of a mutiny amongst the other prisoners. I then ran down the track to the foreman of our working gang for a telephone to the camp. And Miss Fustaine, the secretary, I said, "You understand what I'm talking about? Telephone. I got onto the camp phone and rang them explaining what had happened. Now, backwards, I'm not going to explain what actually happened there, because time would go on. In due course of time, the commandant himself, with several men, came to the working party. I would just say this to remember that a British soldier had been killed. The guard got a severe beating by his colleagues from the camp. He was also threatened with the Russian front. The body was picked up, and it was taken away. Now, that body was never brought back to the camp for burial. It was probably taken into Berlin. The man had his ID on his neck. So, I'm sure that some British medical officer or our records was found the truth about this man in due course of time. We had an Indian doctor in our camp whom I passed on this information to.
When and where was this?
This was at 517, Camp 517. 517, 520. Wait a minute. To be honest with you, I was in so many camps. 517, I'm sure it was 517. I explained to this...
And when would it have been? About which year?
This would have been, the snows was just going, the spring was coming. I would say about Easter time of 43. Easter time of 44. I might be wrong, but I think it was about that time. I mentioned what had happened to the Indian officer. He wrote down what I'd said. And the incident was then forgotten. The next time I heard of this incident was when I was on leave, having returned from a prisoner of war camp, and a letter came from Judge Advocate General's Department. They wanted to see me on two counts, i.e. the death of a British soldier. I went and saw them. I gave them my evidence, as I saw at that time, explaining that a hell of a lot had happened, and one forgets. They said, "It's all right. We also have a record of a British sergeant who was in the camp." And it seemed to correspond with mine. And that was the end of the story.
Had he shot him deliberately or by accident?
No. No, it was panic and anger. Panic and anger caused the death of that man. I think he thought we was taking the Michael. In other words, taking the piss out of the Germans because they'd been bombed. This wasn't true. It was a stupid thing to do. He was excited, he was angry, he was distressed. And that is not saying that I forgive the man.